for some football.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Welcome to the FTN DataCast, the fantasy football podcast where data drives the discussion. Here are your hosts, Adam Pfeiffer and Tyler Lochner.
The Detroit Lions are a better football team than their 2021 record indicates. Welcome back, everybody, to the FTN DataCast presented by the FTN Network. Adam Pfeiffer here, solo edition of the podcast, continuing our team previews as we also continue the NFC North with the Detroit Lions, a team I'm very interested in right now. I'm talking about them on the podcast, also writing them up for the coaching and coordinator series over at FTNFantasy.com. So, yeah, this is Lions Day, and I guess in a way Lions Week, but let's get right into it. Like I said, the Lions, a team that, in my opinion, flat out better than what their record indicated from 2021. You look at their overall record last season, 3-13 with one tie, but that doesn't tell the whole story. I mean, this past season, yes, they only won three games, but Detroit covered the spread 64.7% of the time, which was tied for the fourth highest rate in the entire league. So they were in close games. They were always covering the spread almost. Eight different games were decided by just one score. And they were literally like plays and seconds away from beating the Baltimore Ravens, the 49ers in week one, the Vikings multiple times. And they beat the Cardinals at home 30-12 in week 15. So yes, this is a better team than their record showed. And they've added a lot of talent in the offseason. Like, this team is on the rise. So for fantasy, let's get to it with the quarterback position. Jared Goff, not somebody you're going to be really targeting outside of super flex formats, two quarterback formats, just not a ton of upside. Last season among quarterbacks with 100 dropbacks, Jared Goff had the third lowest average depth of target at 6.5. He was bottom three in intended air yards per attempt, completed air yards per attempt. So this is going to be an offense, even with Jameson Williams and DJ Chark added, like, will there be more occasional deep shots? Probably, you would think, you would hope. But this offense is going to be predicated off the short passing game, and we kind of saw that last season, right? Dan Campbell took over play calling duties for this team after their bye week. So starting, I believe it was week 10, was the first week Dan Campbell started to call plays for Detroit. And from then on, like, Jared Goff, you look at it, in terms of screen percentage, His screen rate went from 9.4% in the first half of the season to about 11%. And then Tim Boyle, who started three games for Detroit during that span, he had the second highest dropback rate off screens in the entire league from weeks 10 to 18 at 14.7%. So you're going to see a lot of short passes to TJ Hockenson, Amon-Ra St. Brown, DeAndre Swift in the screen game. Just going to really, you know, minimize Goff's upside in fantasy. Plus, this is still a run for his team. In that same span I mentioned, Detroit was the seventh, or posted the seventh highest neutral script run rate in the NFL. So the strength of this team is clearly giving the ball to DeAndre Swift and the running backs behind, in my opinion, what is a top five offensive line in the NFL. So Goff, for me, like, yes, he's obviously more appealing in two quarterback and super flex formats, but still not somebody I'm thrilled about starting. I'm okay with it, obviously, and I think his value is obviously higher given the fact that they added James. Like, you really look at it, Goff has one of the best overall supporting casts in the NFL, right? Like I said, a top five offensive line, one of the emerging running backs in the league, and easily one of the best pass catcher running backs in the league in DeAndre Swift. Amon-Ra St. Brown, you know I love Amon-Ra, always have been here. But, like, he was the only receiver last year. Now you add Jameson Williams. You add DJ Chark. You still have Hockenson there. I believe you still even have Josh Reynolds there, who has a rapport with Jared Goff. So, really, there's nothing bad about his situation. Everything's good. It's just, is he going to throw enough? Is he going to have any, you know, touchdown, you know, upside? And is he going to have any sort of downfield upside? Probably not. But still somebody you can stream, you know, in the right week and comfortably start as a quarterback too, but there's still higher upside quarterback twos out there in fantasy. Let's go to the backfield where DeAndre Swift is, it just feels like he's on the verge of becoming an elite fantasy running back, and we saw that last season, right? He was well on his way. Swift last season missed about five games, still finished fourth among all running backs in targets and receptions with 78 targets, 62 receptions. His 13.8% target share was the second highest rate among all running backs. And you look at, like, he had that shoulder injury on Thanksgiving. Before that injury, before that game, DeAndre Swift was the RB5 in all fantasy and PPR leagues, averaging 18.6 points per game. During that same span, he led all running backs in receptions and targets, while only Cordarrelle Patterson of the Falcons had more receiving yards among running backs than Swift. So, like, before the injury, he was legitimately an elite fantasy running back. And then he came back, but was not a full-time player. Week 17 and 18, he only had 17 total touches, played about 57 and 54% of the snaps, well below his 73% snap rate from the first 10 weeks of the season when he was fully healthy. So, yeah, I mean, Swift is a perfect fit for this offense, right? Jared Goff, among the elite of the elite in terms of checking down. He's a league-leading check-down artist, if you will. But again, like, Goff, top 10 in terms of percentage of passes in the intermediate and short parts of the field. Like, this is going to be an offense that DeAndre says he's a ton of work. And remember, like, if Dan Campbell's calling plays again this season, it remains to be seen. They did promote tight ends coach Ben Johnson to offensive coordinator, but it's still not clear who's going to call plays. But if it's Campbell again, got to remember, like, he was with the Saints for like 4 or 5 years. He was around that Sean Payton offense that was a short passing offense and heavily used their running backs in the passing game. So I feel like Dan Campbell knows that, like, Swift can be used in a Kamara-type way. He has been, and that's, you know, he's arguably the best offensive player. So for me, the pass-catching upside, there's maybe two running backs in the league with more pass-catching upside than DeAndre Swift this season, and that's probably Austin Eckler and Christian McCaffrey. And, like, I know Swift wasn't great on a per-carry basis in terms of running the football last season, but I expect him to be better. I mean, the Lions, like, they're going to be an elite offensive line. They're very, very, very good. Frank Ragnow is one of the top centers in football last season. Didn't play a lot last year. So you add him, you have Penei Sewell, like, you have a loaded offensive line, a team that wants to run the football and throw to the running backs. And keep in mind, too, Swift has been the goal line back for this team when he's been healthy. It hasn't been Jamal Williams, hasn't been Craig Reynolds, it's been DeAndre Swift. So I had Swift as a borderline top 10 running back, obviously more so in PPR leagues. I'm extremely excited about him. Jamal Williams, I think, was more appealing last season as a potential standalone running back with more upside to get all the work if Swift missed time. But then Craig Reynolds really came on for them down the stretch last season. I think he might have earned a larger role overall, but especially if DeAndre Swift were to miss any time. So I'm not even exactly sure if, like, Jamal Williams is getting 80% of the carries and touches and snaps and everything at running back if Swift is out of the lineup. I really don't know if it's the same situation for Jamal Williams. So I'm not as high in Williams as I was last year. One of my favorite players in the NFL still, but for fantasy, I don't know if he's getting this huge role that he saw last year with Swift out and that he's seen in the past when a number one running back has been out. Over to the receivers. I mean, what else can you say about Amon-Ra St. Brown? Right, my favorite receiver in that draft class wasn't my number one ranked receiver because, you know, Ja'Marr Chase, obviously, but he was my favorite receiver. I thought it was ridiculously insane that he fell to the fourth round, and I just wanted him all offseason to land on a team that had opportunities for him, and he landed in Detroit, which was perfect, right? We were talking this time last season about how the Lions have one of the worst groups of receivers in the NFL, and, you know, St. Brown got off to a slow start, but then we saw what he did down the stretch, right? One of the five best receivers in fantasy from like weeks 10 to 18. He's getting pretty much double-digit targets every single week. He was unbelievable. Now, a lot of people say, okay, he only did that because Hockenson was out and they had no other receivers and Swift was out. Of course, that obviously helped. But if you just look at, you know, history, like, players that can put up the production that he did as a rookie, they tend to be just overall good players. And my mindset hasn't changed. I've always thought Amon-Ra was a really good football player. Dan Campbell loves him. He said, like, if you could build a Madden receiver, you'd build Amon-Ra St. Brown. Incredible route runner, really sudden, smart. I love him. And I think Jameson Williams, DJ Chark, first of all, Jameson Williams is probably going to miss a good portion of the season. It sounds like it's not definitive yet, but then you have, what, Chark, Amon-Ra, Hockenson, and Swift getting the majority of the targets for this team. Like, Chark is going to be a vertical passing option that sees 4 or 5 targets a game, maybe. Like, this offense is still running through Amon-Ra St. Brown and Swift. I think Amon-Ra is ahead of Hockenson in terms of targets. It's going to be Amon-Ra and Swift, in my opinion. So is he going to consistently see 9, 10, 11, 12 targets like he saw down the stretch last season? Also was used, which I loved, out of the backfield a lot, getting free releases, occasionally getting carries. And it was really smart because we saw that usage where, okay, Amon-Ra is clearly your best player on offense, right? Hockenson's out, Swift's in and out of the lineup and not 100%, not playing a full-time role. Scheme your best player easy touches. And that's what Dan Campbell and the Lions did. Will he have that role? I don't know. Maybe he'll get occasional, you know, snaps in the backfield. But I just think targets, when, like, if you just get open, you're going to earn targets. And Amon-Ra St. Brown can get open. He did at USC. It's why he was, in my opinion, one of the better receiving prospects in the class. I expect him to get even better in year two. Is he going to be the wide receiver 5 or a top 5 receiver like he was down the stretch last season? No, of course not. If he is, then Jared Goff, probably too low on Jared Goff. But where he's going around, like, wide receiver 30-ish, like, yeah, like, I think he'll give us a safe weekly floor. I surprise, surprise, I do like Amon-Ra St. Brown. Chark and Jameson Williams are a lot more difficult. Like, Jameson Williams, if he didn't have the ACL tear, probably would have been the first receiver drafted back in April. I mean, absolute home run threat on every play, but good route runner, can make plays in the intermediate parts of the field. It's just he's probably going to miss some time. And when the receiver position is so loaded, like, by the time he's back, he'll probably have some spike weeks. He's a really talented player. But by the time he's back, are you really going to feel comfortable putting in Jameson Williams as your wide receiver 3 or your flex? I don't know. I mean, almost 20 yards per reception last season, 13 yards per target. Like, he is an incredible prospect. The upside's fantastic. I think by the midway point, I think the ceiling, at least in this offense in year one, is like, you know, a top 35 receiver flex candidate. But I love the player, and I'm really excited to see what the play calling looks like with Jameson Williams and Chark now that they have two players that can stretch the defense. So, like, among the rookie receivers, like, I definitely prefer Olave, Drake London, Treylon Burks, Garrett Wilson. Then it's close between, like, Jahan Dotson and him. Sky Moore, I prefer. I think it's close between, like, Jahan Dotson and Jameson Williams for me. The upside definitely lies with Jameson Williams. But, you know, if he misses 3 to 4 games or whatever to start the season, that's obviously going to hurt. And then DJ Chark, like, didn't see him much last season. It's been a little bit up and down during his tenure with Jacksonville, but had that massive season in 2019, but then inconsistencies, had the injury last season, bad quarterback play. I still think he's talented, and I love the signing by Detroit. He's also only 25 years old. And again, if Jameson Williams is out the first 4 or 5 games of the season, then that's probably going to be the time to feel at, you know, most comfortable starting DJ Chark. So not somebody I've honestly drafted a ton, just because, like, he goes in the same range as Jameson Williams, and, like, you're not drafting Chark or Williams as a week one starter anyway, so why not just take the, you know, the wait and see approach, the long game with Jameson Williams, and really hope for the upside. So, like, I don't think he's a terrible option to draft. It's just I don't see consistency week to week from him, especially if Jared Goff is still bottom 5 in intended air yards per attempt and deep passing rate and all those metrics. And this offense is just predicated off screen passes to Amon-Ra and Swift, you know, throws in the intermediate parts of the field to Hockenson, and of course running the football, which they will do plenty this season, you know, with that offensive line and everything. Closing out with TJ Hockenson, who I think he could be somewhat viewed as a disappointment, at least for fantasy through his first two seasons, three seasons rather. You look at last season, though, he was on pace. Everybody talks about what Amon-Ra St. Brown did down the stretch last season because there was nobody else catching passes for Detroit. That's essentially what Hockenson was doing early in the season, before Amon-Ra broke out, and there was nobody else there. He was a top 5 tight end in fantasy the first, you know, half of the season before he got hurt. Then he had the injury, missed time. The touchdowns weren't great, but he was getting, you know, a ton of targets in the first handful of games. A ton. Now, is he going to get that consistent target share with Amon-Ra merging, Chark, Jameis Williams, Swift? I don't know. Like, I still think he's going to see 100 targets, which at tight end, like, that's obviously, like, you're not going to see a ton of tight ends get 100 targets, right? And we know Dan Campbell. Where was he before Detroit? Tight ends coach in Miami. Tight ends coach in New Orleans, I think, for a little bit. Like, he has a track record of being a tight ends coach. Ben Johnson, the offensive coordinator, tight ends coach. So that makes me still interested in Hockenson. Not to mention, he's still a really talented player. He has an every down role. Where I struggle with is I prefer Schultz, who goes a little bit ahead of Hockenson. I haven't made up my mind on, like, Hockenson and Dallas Goedert, because Goedert now has A.J. Brown there. He had, like, two or three end zone targets all last season. He has not been targeted in the end zone a lot. But efficiency-wise, like, he's top five in ADOT, top five in catch rate, top five in yards per target. Like, he's been a very efficient player. I think Hockenson probably sees more consistent week-to-week targets. It's just, for me, it's going to come down to the touchdowns. I still think 70 catches is firmly in his range of outcomes. It just depends on how similar the offense is this year compared to last year in terms of where they're throwing the football, what parts of the field they're attacking, and stuff like that. But, like, his floor seems pretty high, right? Like, I don't think Hockenson is going to come out, and if he plays the majority of the season, I don't see a scenario where TJ Hockenson finishes as, like, the tight end, you know, worse than, like, tight end 8 or 9. But does he have the upside to be tight end 3? Like, does he have the upside to finish behind presumably Kelsey and Andrews? I don't know, maybe. It's just, like, as an overall talent, like, he's not there with Kittle, he's not there with Waller. You can make the case Goddard's better. He's just in a weird range where it's like you feel similar about target totals for a lot of tight ends around him. Goddard, Schultz, what you probably feel better about. Zach Ertz, at least for the first 6 weeks of the season. And he goes in a range where it's like, if I'm not taking one of the elite tight ends, you know, Kyle Pitts, Kelsey, Andrews, Kittle in round 5 if he falls, probably just going to wait and double tap tight end and hope one of the two tight ends I draft breaks out. And, like, it's still possible we haven't seen the best of TJ Hockenson. It's totally firmly in play. And I do like the system he's in. I do think he's going to be, I don't know, second on the team in targets. Yeah, I would say second behind Amon-Ra. I think he'll be somewhere in the middle, right? I don't think he's going to be what he was to start the season last year, where he was like the tight end 3 in fantasy. And I also don't think he's going to be like outside the top 8. So I think he's a safe floor tight end. Still one of the better tight ends in all football. He's a solid tight end 1. Like, where he's ranked is perfectly fine for me in that tight end. Anywhere between like 6 to 8. I think that's where he's going to be ranked in most people's rankings. I think that's accurate. I think that's right. Other players in this team, nobody really standing out. I mean, I mentioned Craig Reynolds, probably somebody to keep an eye on. Like I said, I do think he makes a 53-man roster. Not saying you draft him or anything, but, like, if DeAndre Swift misses time, I don't think it's going to be just Jamal Williams getting 80% of the work. Craig Reynolds was good last year. He was really efficient. He earned a role on this team. So other than that, though, I mean, I like this team, man. I'm not saying they're going to go out and win the NFC North or make the playoffs, but they won 3 games last year. I think they at least doubled their win total and win 6. I mean, they should have won 6 last season, like I said. The defense still has a lot of question marks. The secondary is not great. You know, the D-line gets Aiden Hutchinson, which definitely helps. But, like, they have plenty of holes on defense, which is going to hold them back. But outside of that and quarterback, like, you have a good group of pass catchers at receiver. You have a good tight end. You have a good backfield. You have an elite offensive line. I think Dan Campbell is a good coach. So this team is on the up and up for sure. Like, they're not going to – I mean, they didn't last year. And when they play Green Bay in the division, and then when they play Minnesota in the division, they're going to be tough outs. So – Detroit Lions fans, I don't know if this is the year they get to the playoffs, but they will be fun to watch again. They were fun last year, like I said, covering the spread, battling, close games almost every week. And I think they take another step forward this season in year two under Dan Campbell with more talent on the roster and their young players getting even better. So the Detroit Lions, I'm excited to watch them. I think they have a really bright future. I know Tyler, if he was on the podcast, this is his not real but joking Super Bowl pick. But like we say that because we are legitimately excited about this team's future, and like they get a game-changing, game-breaking quarterback in the next couple years. I mean, look out, especially with Aaron Rodgers, probably having 2-3 years left, maybe four. The couple years from now, the Detroit Lions could be towards the top of the NFC North. It really could happen for them that quickly. So exciting times for Detroit. I like this team. For fantasy, they're very interesting. And that'll do it. The Detroit Lions, one team left in the NFC North. It is the Chicago Bears, who might project to be one of the worst teams in the NFL, but there's fantasy relevance to be had for every team in the NFL. And we'll break down the remaining teams in the league on the team previews here on the FTN DataCast, presented by the FTN Network. Three episodes this week already, man. We're off to a good start. We're grinding. It's July, almost, the end of July all of a sudden, July 20th. Training camp starting up in like a week and a half. It's that time. It is very exciting. It's that time to sign up at FTN Fantasy. I mean, you get a package FTN Fantasy. You get access to Jeff Ratcliffe's rankings, which are the best in the industry. My rankings are up there as well. Chris Meany's are up there. Ton of rankings. We have best ball rankings, redraft rankings, dynasty rankings, everything you can think of. Plus, you get access to all the articles, premium stats, wide receiver cornerback matchups. It just everything you can think of to help you win in fantasy football in 2022. Appreciate everybody listening as always. If you could, drop us a rating or review, a like, whatever on iTunes, Apple, whatever platform you listen to the podcast on. Definitely helps us out. And Tyler will hopefully be back next episode as we recap, or I guess put the finishing touches on the NFC North with a look at the Chicago Bears. This has been Adam Pfeiffer for the FTN DataCast. Have a good one. We will talk to you guys next time.
Thanks for listening to the FTN DataCast. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe. And follow the hosts on Twitter at A Pfeiffer24 and at LochnerNFL.